Medical practitioners from around the country, with a side hustle as artists, are about to show their work in an exhibition called Beyond the Mask. It's part of the annual conference of the country's doctors and dentists. Even though the conference itself is now only happening virtually, the exhibition is going ahead in the capital. But don't expect graphic depictions of medical procedures. The 50 or so paintings, photographs and sculptures on show tend to cover very different territory. There's a gallery of work by two of the contributing doctors on the Standing Room Only webpage. Southland-based anaesthetist Roger Wandless is also a well-known landscape and wilderness photographer with several books to his name. Roger, I guess for all of the doctors who are taking part in the exhibition, you're all such busy, committed people that I'm interested in how your day job, and obviously your night job too, but your career intersects with your art. You know, is photography, did it start as an escape, or is it simply part of a balanced life?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think you sort of, these things just happen, really. They're not sort of planned. So, look, I'm obviously from England originally, and when I came to New Zealand, I think it causes you to see the world a different way, to actually be quite sort of deliberate and strategic about things. But also, when I first came, I didn't know where I was going to stay. So photography was kind of a way for me to keep these treasured memories and places. It was always something that I enjoyed doing and wanted to try and be as creative as I could, I guess. But it kind of started in that way and then just kind of evolved. And so it's always been something that's been an important part of my life outside of my my medical life and my family life. So, you know, I guess you sort of pigeonhole time when you can do it. And sometimes I guess you can potentially always have a camera nearby if there's things that just come. You know, sometimes down here you get amazing skies. And I used to have a camera in my bag when I'd cycle to work and quickly snap something and then carry on and hope you weren't going to be late. But yeah, no, mainly it's just something I try and, so for instance, this weekend I'm hoping to go somewhere, but I think the weather's going to stop it. You just sort of pigeonhole times when you can have a go, you know, you take a chance of getting out and roll with what happens.
I guess too, it's sort of the polar opposite of where you spend your life, in hospitals and operating theatres and these very small, you know, confined spaces. And there you are for your photography, you know, looking at these images, you are out in the wilderness, no one to be seen.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's, I think the contrast really, it certainly gives me a deep appreciation of those relatively sort of rare times that you can do that. I always feel I'm scratching the surface, but it's, and you sort of have to pinch yourself. But yes, it's the times that I treasure when I'm out there, really. And it is, it's a complete, well, there's two aspects to it. One is just this, you're this small, vulnerable thing in the middle of somewhere. But also when I'm doing my photography, particularly the landscapes, it's you get into this sort of state of flow, if you like. I remember I was in, there's a place at the top of the shot over called Lochnajar, and we helicoptered in there. And as I arrived there, there was this magical sort of time when there was showers and sun and rainbows coming. And I set myself up in this creek that was sort of precariously sort of balanced on rocks and up to my knees in water, just watching the light change and dance and play. And we got there about 9 o'clock, and by the time I'd finished, it was 2 in the afternoon, and I've been stood in freezing cold water for 5 hours, and I got no sense of time. But it's just this deep sort of, you know, you're just changing position and watching and trying different things and fiddling, and that's quite a, I guess that is quite a release from what I do in the operating theatre. Well, I suspect the surgeons get that sort of experience as well, and perhaps we do it when we're doing some of the tense technical stuff.
I was just thinking about some of the creative medical professionals that I've had the pleasure of speaking to actually over the years, and particularly with the writers, and I'm thinking Glenn Calhoun, the poet and writer, and Eileen Merriman, who writes health issue based engrossing fiction, particularly for young adults, and that when they very much write about what they observe, their experiences, most of the time, not always, but, you know, it weaves its way into what they write. And I think Nurse has also brought out a poetry collection in the last few years. So that's very direct. But I get the sense, and I don't know the work of all of the doctors taking part in this, that this is all very different, that we're not going to see diseases and body parts in the inside of operating theatres.
It's an interesting question. Look, I mean, I guess landscapes, in a sense, is an easy thing to do because it's there all the time, and we're drawn to it, and there's not the sort of coordination, lots of moving parts. In my dream life, if you like, I think it would be fascinating to be able to photograph what we do, but that's a whole different project. So, I mean, in sort of preparing for the interview, I was sort of thinking about what is my photography and what are the different aspects to it. And certainly landscape is what I'd say I'm known for. I'd say there's three strands of my photography: landscape, creative. I've got a sort of relatively private body of work where I've just documented sort of either family stuff or intense situations in the family. So, for instance, I did a piece of work where my father died. He struggled with a long illness. When our children were born, and then more recently a sort of Maori tangi, and in a sense those things are the real essence of photography. In many ways they sort of capture human emotion at its sharpest. So there's lots of things I've seen and which I guess I just take for granted, which in a way are stories to be told, but for me to do it would be a difficult thing, I think, because I think I need to separate my work and my care for individual patient and respect for that patient from the art. And I think if you're doing the two, it could be very difficult. But certainly, I could certainly see things in a particular way, I think.
I think that's one of the things that attracted me to this as a story, actually, beyond the mask, was, as the writers have done, you know, offering those of us who have interactions with medical specialists that can be, you know, at a time of our lives which are very delicate and intense and upsetting, you know, you have that professional relationship, to give us an insight into you as human beings, as creatives, as everyday people. I guess that's one of the hopes for this exhibition, break down some of those barriers.
I think so. You know, I think... We all share the same human struggle, don't we? And one of the gifts of really top end artists is to depict that, really. You know, I mean, one of the ultimate is Picasso with his Guernica painting. You know, sort of to shine a light on things, I guess, in a way that's lasting. And that's I'm certainly nowhere near being able to do that. And that's a true gift.
You have a very big portfolio of work. So which of your works have you chosen for Beyond the Mask?
Look, I chose some recent work, really. So I've chosen three works. One was a picture of Mount Cook. Sort of depicting the whole Upper Tasman water catchment area. So it's taken from a helicopter in the evening, and you're following. I love lines, and really in my images I'm trying to collect a body of trophy type images, if you like, where they're big landscapes with emotion, and within that I'm looking to lead, to take the eye on a journey. And so in this particular shot, the Tasman rivers take your eye to Mount Cook, which dominates the whole landscape. And the way the lighting is, the river is sort of like a delicate silver necklace. And there's Mount Cook, dominating it high above. And so you've got this brutal landscape with this sort of delicacy and vulnerability. It's a kind of a metaphor in a way for the world at the moment. So that's one image. And on a similar theme, there's another image which was taken. We flew into the Joe's saddle, which is vaguely in the area of the McKinnon Pass of the Milford Sound, one of the most stunning areas of the country, these huge peaks above and below you and just vertical drops in every direction. And I was attracted to a small little tarn there with a lone mountain daisy, which had just remained. You know, there it is in this big landscape, and this single daisy still managing to live its life. And there's a big storm coming in, and the peak is just reflected in this little tarn. So it's quite a sort of simple composition, but again, a metaphor for, you know, how life will, how tough it can be in the most difficult of or challenging terrains, if you like, and these little spots of beauty will maintain and prevail. And then the final one again is Mount Cook. Just attracted to the, I hadn't really appreciated the beauty of the braided rivers, really. I mean, I've seen them, but I hadn't really seen them up close. And my wife was doing, so as it often happens, I'll try and tie something into something else that's going on. So my wife was doing the Alps to Ocean race, and I got up early one morning and just hired a chopper. And we went over the Tasman River and looked up at towards Mount Cook. And it's just this beautiful sort of compositional elements of the river lead your eye up to the peak, and they were reflected by the sort of cirrus clouds in the sky. So those were three images I picked. There's lots of others I'd have liked to have picked. It's sort of you constantly creating things or remembering things that you've taken, but I thought I'd do a body of relatively new work and send those away.
Roger Wandless, and you can hear the full interview on our webpage and see photographs that he's contributing. Also contributing to the Beyond the Mask exhibition is Dr. Amanda Tristram, who's an obstetrician gynaecologist at Wellington Hospital. And like Roger, she's only recently started expressing herself through her art.
So school really was all about sciences for me. I didn't do any art at school. And I started painting in lockdown last year.
Oh my goodness, you really are new to it. Crikey.
I'm really new to it. My first painting was painting in Jacinda's Great New Zealand Easter Egg Hunt in lockdown last year. So I carried on working. We worked all the way through lockdown. But of course, I couldn't go out at weekends or see friends. So we had a kind of work bubble. And we decided we would all colour in these Easter eggs. And I'd got some paints at home for some reason. I don't even remember why. And so I painted in the Easter eggs and I quite enjoyed it. And then I didn't know what to do next. So I went on YouTube and found some acrylic paint tutorials. And it all grew from that, really.
I mean, it really was just going in search of really good tutorials and what practice.
Yes. All of the paintings I've done would of places I've been or birds with attitude that I've met on my travels. So the painting is, I've really enjoyed because it's like recreating a memory. And so when I couldn't go anywhere in lockdown, I couldn't go and visit any places, I could almost revisit the places I've been and create a new memory of the enjoyable process. So, you know, being in the house with the fire on, listening to Radio New Zealand, actually now has some lovely memories of lockdown for me, learning something new, which is always quite exciting.
Well, there you are, and what's just over a year later, you're going to be showing your work in an exhibition. Is that a big step for you?
It's an enormous step, which I angsted over. My poor friends have had to endure me angsting over whether to do it or not. I love art. I love going to see other people's works at exhibitions, and I enjoy the variety and what happens. But I think also for me was just sharing, and maybe, you know, even if I can encourage one other person to have a go at something new, just because we've got to the latter half of our lives doesn't mean that we can't try new things. And the pleasure I've got out of it, I think if I can infect even one other person with that, that would be worth doing.
When lockdown ended, have you managed to find a way to keep painting? Because that's the thing, you have a very demanding career. I mean, what's the situation now? Are you going to keep on with your art?
I certainly am. My friends slightly tease me because they say I still go to work. They just don't see me anymore. They can't come around for dinner anymore because the dining room table is covered in paints.
I just think that's a really lovely story. I mean, I guess that, you know, we could assume that because what you do is so stressed that you find solace and this is a form of stress relief. But you've come to it from a different angle, I imagine, Amanda, by the sound of things.
People have asked, is it a stress relief? And I guess if I'm honest, if I've had a really stressed day, I actually can't paint because it requires all your attention. But generally, it is a lovely escape from work because although I enjoy doing it, the technical side of it does mean you need to concentrate and not be thinking about other things too much. So it is it's a great distraction and it's a great way of switching off from work at the end of the day. And also because I paint things that, you know, places I loved and have happy memories, that then that's great as well.
Can't help wondering, again, given the exactitude of your career, you know, when you make life and death decisions, you have to be very specific. For your painting, are you a perfectionist in your painting, or can you relax a little bit?
I can relax a bit. I actually did some great online tutorial and the chat was saying, and the lovely thing about painting is it's not life and death. And I was like, do you know, it's right, I need to relax about this. It doesn't matter if I put the wrong colour blue on. I have a horrible habit, though, of not being able to finish paintings. So I can't bear it. I might spoil it. I think I still am in the stage where I think it's a bit of luck that something turns out looking vaguely like I wanted it to. And so when it comes to the last few details, I get a bit like, oh, I'll do that another day when I'm not as tired.
So which landscapes did you find yourself yearning to paint or to revisit through your art?
The one is at the start of the Milford track last Easter. I was lucky enough to go and do the Milford walk. And the first evening where we were staying, I went for a little walk around the corner in the evening. And you could just see the mist down the valley, which is where we were going to start off properly the next day. And the other one is almost a stolen happy place. So somebody I work with, her favourite place, her happy place is in Akaroa. So I went down one weekend and went for a walk on the skyline up above and just had the most gorgeous day out of nowhere weather-wise, and sat on top of a rock on the skyline munching my lunch. And again, it was just such a peaceful, calm moment. It was lovely to enjoy that all over again, the happy hours painting it.
Dr. Amanda Tristram, and earlier you heard from Roger Wanless. Beyond the Mask opens on Thursday at the Academy of Fine Arts in Wellington.